welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Adventure in this hour. Later on, it's Tarzan from 1952. But right now, the adventurer Clyde Beatty on his own program in a syndicated broadcast from the later 1940s called Land of the Giants.
The Clyde Beatty Show. The world's greatest wild animal trainer, Clyde Beatty, with another exciting story from his brilliant career. This master of the big cats captures ferocious jungle beasts and trains them to perform under the big top in the circus, where there are always thrills, action, and danger. Hundreds of dramatic behind-the-scenes adventures are all part of the Clyde Beatty story. Here is the story of Land of the Giants.
Oh, Clyde, doesn't that fan feel good?
Well, it's probably the only one in Salisbury. Enjoy it while you can.
Oh, I wish we could take it on our safari with us.
What would we use for electricity? Fireflies, maybe?
Oh, darling, that's silly.
Oh, and speaking of flies, there's one on your cheek. Brush it off.
Oh, too much trouble.
Honey, I said brush it off.
Oh, darling.
For what I am about to do, forgive me. Got him.
Clyde, you struck me.
You're darn right I struck you. And I warn you, I'll do it again if you keep on being careless about insects.
Well, it's just a little old housefly.
Uh-huh. Now take another look. You see the brownish color, the mottled markings, the long proboscis?
Yes.
Notice the size?
Oh, it is larger than a housefly at that.
This little beauty, my dear, is Glossina morsitans.
Heaven, sounds horrible.
It is. That fella could have put you to sleep for a long, long time. Maybe forever.
Oh, sure. A little old fly couldn't do that.
A little old tsetse fly could.
I thought you said it was a glossy, whatever you call it.
Glossina morsitans. That's the same thing.
Well, how can they put you to sleep?
They transmit trypanosomes.
Thank you, Dr. Kildare.
They're bugs that cause a nasty little disease called sleeping sickness, huh?
And I thought all I had to worry about were wild beasts and cannibals and things like that.
In Rhodesia, you worry about tsetse flies. And don't you forget that.
Yes, Lord and Master.
I don't want to go around slapping your lovely face all the time.
Because you love me, Lord and Master?
No, Turtle Dove. Because it stings my hands.
Clyde Beatty.
And now, back to Clyde Beatty's adventure entitled Land of the Giants.
Just a moment.
Mr. Beatty?
Yes, I'm Beatty.
Well, I'm Stanley Roberts. I'm sorry if I disturb you.
Well, not at all.
I wish to speak with you about something rather urgent.
Well, then come in. Come on in. This is Mrs. Beatty, Harriet, Mr. Stanley Roberts.
Oh, won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'll leave you men to your business.
Oh, no, don't go, Mrs. Beatty. What I have to say concerns both of you.
Well, let me fix you a nice drink. It's so terribly hot.
Oh, you're very kind.
We're not quite used to this kind of climate.
Can one ever get used to it?
Here you are, sir. Thanks. Can I freshen yours, Clyde?
No, thanks, dear. This is fine. Well, now, what can we do for you, Mr. Roberts?
Well, knowing what sort of a man you are, Mr. Beatty, I'll be very direct, if you don't mind.
Well, good.
I understand you're about to make a safari into northern Rhodesia.
That's right. We intend to push off across western Mozambique and into Nyasaland. We'll probably come back down the Luangwa. May even push on to Victoria Falls.
Well, may I ask when you're leaving Salisbury?
As soon as I've selected a guide.
I know I'm presuming, Mr. Beatty, but I wish to be considered for that post.
Are you a professional guide?
No, I am not.
Well,
but believe me, sir, I know every inch of South Africa from Durban to the Tanganyika.
Well, you see, Robert, sir, a couple of men I've hired for other expeditions. They'll be here in Salisbury next week. I feel they should be considered first for the job.
But you don't understand. I don't wish to be hired. You'll not have to pay me at all. I simply wish to guide your expedition to Karanga.
Did I say we were going to Karanga?
No, but if you go north across Nyasaland, Karanga would be the logical place for your party to reach the Luangwa River.
Well, evidently you have a reason for going to Karanga, Mr. Roberts.
Yes.
May I ask what it is?
Yes, of course. I hope to find my brother, or at least a trace of him.
Your brother?
Yes. Some 3 years ago, my brother returned from a trip into the Tanganyika territory, and almost immediately he came down with a serious siege of sleeping sickness. Well, I nursed him through it, but before he was completely recovered, he disappeared. And he hasn't been heard of since.
You think he's gone back to the Tanganyika territory?
Yes.
Why?
Well, things he said during his convalescence. He raved about a fortune in gold and diamonds he had discovered. He swore he'd return to recover it.
Did he tell you where he'd found this fortune?
No.
Then what makes you think it's Karanga?
Because he mentioned the Wambasi.
Wambasi? I don't think I've heard of that tribe.
Well, the tribe is obscure, but that they exist, I'm certain.
Well, how can you tell them from the other natives in the Tanganyika territory?
Because, Mr. Beatty, the Wambasi warriors are 7 feet tall.
Robert's declaration that there were natives in the region of Karanga that were 7 feet tall amazed me. I checked with the authorities in Salisbury and found the Englishman was speaking the truth. There was a tribe, small in numbers but extremely savage, who were giants among the native tribes of South Africa. The Wambasi, only to be found in the Tanganyika territory near Karanga. A sixth sense told me not to retain Roberts to guide our safari. But his story about locating his lost brother somehow touched me, and I did agree to take Roberts along with me.
Clyde?
Yes?
Clyde, I'm terribly tired. Can't we stop for a few minutes?
Oh, of course, honey. Roberts has set a very fast pace.
Oh.
Too fast, if you ask me. Oh, Roberts, hold up. Let's stop a bit, eh?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Beatty. I'm afraid I've set too steep a pace.
Oh, that's for sure. After all, the original purpose of this safari was pleasure.
Oh, please forgive me. It's just my anxiety about my brother that makes me want to push on so rapidly. Mankuni Arani!
I've noticed our porters and gun-bearers have been a bit reluctant to continue. What does that mean?
Well, they're frightened. Somehow they've learned that we've set out for the Wambasi country.
Look, Roberts, I agreed to take you along on this safari, but if there's a chance that our natives won't stick along with us, I'd rather not take the chance of being stranded in country like this.
Well, I'm afraid we've gone too far to turn back now, Mr. Beatty.
What do you mean?
Listen.
What, aren't those native drums?
Yes, that's why our bearers are upset. Those are Wambasi drums.
Wambasi.
I don't like this, Roberts.
Well, let me talk to the natives. I think I can keep them in line.
Clyde, those drums. They frighten me.
Just a jungle telegraph, dear.
I know, but somehow they sound so ominous.
Well, don't worry. Everything will be all right.
Clyde.
Yes, dear?
I'm worried about Stanley Roberts.
What do you mean?
Haven't you noticed the change in him?
Well, he seems to be a bit more eager now that we've gotten so close to the place where he thinks his brother may be found.
I don't think his brother is his first concern, Clyde.
Well, what makes you say that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just a hunch, but... Well, I just don't trust him.
I checked on him back in Salisbury. Everything he said has been verified.
Still, I feel there's something wrong with him.
Those drums have disturbed you, Harriet. Don't let yourself imagine things now.
Nevertheless, Clyde, I don't trust him.
Roberts and his brother are from a very well-known family in England. They've lived many years here in South Africa.
Yes, but if you ask yourself why...
Well, maybe they like it here.
I heard they were sent out here with their family to get them out of England.
Well, just because Mama and Papa Roberts didn't want a couple of wild boys cluttering up their London drawing room doesn't make them criminals.
Oh, I know, but still I'm worried.
Oh, now, Harry.
I'm convinced that Stanley Roberts has some ulterior purpose beyond locating his missing brother.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, I've heard that no love has been lost between them. They've constantly been at odds with one another. It doesn't seem reasonable that suddenly Stanley should be so concerned with his brother's welfare.
After all, honey, blood is thicker than water.
Yes. And diamonds and gold have severed many a family tie.
Betty. Betty, wake up.
Roberts, what's wrong?
Our natives. They've disappeared.
What?
So I've just made the rounds at the camp and they've gone. They just faded off into the night.
Well, that's a fine state of affairs.
Yes, I was afraid of this.
Then why did you let us get this far into the region of the Wambasi?
Well, I told you, I want to find my brother.
Why? Why do you want to find your brother?
I don't like your tone, Mr. Beatty. Are you accusing me?
I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm simply asking you a question.
But surely you don't think that I would...
Listen, Roberts. All I know is that you've gotten my wife and me in a very serious predicament. Without our porters, it'll be plenty tough to get out of here. As guide of this safari, you should have foreseen this possibility.
I did.
You did. And yet you risked our lives.
Well, there was a great deal at stake.
Are you referring to your brother or the gold and diamonds?
Well, I guess there's no good carrying on a pretense. The well-being of my brother means very little to me. Certainly not enough to risk my life.
What a sucker I was to fall for your story.
You see, I couldn't have come up with the cash necessary to finance a safari out here. Your arrival in Salisbury was very opportune.
I ought to smash you to a pulp.
Yes, well, that, I'm afraid, would do very little good in this situation. It seems that my little plan has backfired. It appears I'm in as much danger as you and your wife.
If I didn't need you to guide us out of here, I'd break you in two.
Fortunately for me, you do require my knowledge of this country. We're in the same boat, Beatty. You couldn't hope to get out without me.
Clyde, what is it? What's happened?
Your hunch about this character was right, Harriet. He's put us on a spot.
That's the natives.
They've disappeared.
Disappeared? But why?
Listen.
The drums. The jungle drums.
Yeah, it's the Wambasi talking to one another.
But they're closer. Much closer than they were.
That's why our natives have left us. They were frightened off.
Are the Wambasi such a terrible tribe of savages?
Evidently. As you already know, they're giants.
Most of them as tall as 7 feet.
All the other native tribes are afraid of them.
Well, just because they're tall, does that mean they're more savage than other tribes?
Well, I shouldn't count on that, Mrs. Beatty. They're a proud and individual race. Because of their size, they feel themselves above all other natives. They'll brook no mingling with others in this territory.
Knowing all this, Roberts, how could you have been foolish enough to bring us out here?
You've forgotten. My brother.
Oh, come off it. Don't start on that I'm out to save my brother routine again.
But you don't understand.
I certainly don't. There must be an awfully large amount of gold at stake to make a guy like you risk his neck.
There is. And it's my brother who's going to save us.
What?
From the sound of those drums, the Wambasi are getting more and more excited. It shouldn't be too long until they pay us a visit.
Then let's get out of here while there's still time.
There is no time, Beatty. The Wambasi are all around us by now.
Well, I must admit, for a guy with a character like yours, you're very calm about all this.
Oh, you forget, darling. He's British. Chin up, old chappy. White tie for dinner and all that sort of thing.
Uh-oh. The drums have stopped. Looks like the quarterback's given the signal. Take his gun, Harriet. You'd better draw yours, Roberts. I think the ball game's about to start.
Whatever you do, Beatty, don't shoot one of them.
Look, mister, you can wait around for this missing brother of yours to save you, but before my wife and I wind up in a cannibal stew pot, I'm going to knock down a few of those long, tall boys.
God, look. All around the clearing.
Oh, brother, look at the size of them.
Well, for heaven's sake, Beatty, don't fire at them. It wouldn't do any good, and there are hundreds of them.
I see what you mean.
Oh, Clyde. I've never seen such tremendous men. What are we going to do?
Well, my darling, we're already on our knees, so we'd better start to pray.
Now, back to Clyde Beatty's adventure, Land of the Giants.
Harriet, Stanley Roberts, and I watched in fascinated amazement as the huge natives moved closer and closer into the clearing. The light from our campfire glistened on their giant, muscular bodies. I put my arm around Harriet and drew her close to me. Roberts had lost all of his assurance.
Great Scott, Beatty, have you ever seen anything like them in your life?
No. But, brother, what a basketball team they'd make.
What?
Oh, Skip, it's strictly an American-type joke.
Well, I'm afraid I've got us into a bit of a mess.
I'm afraid you jolly well have, old boy.
Oh, we're done for, Beatty. We're done for. They'll kill us.
Shut up, you fool. Maybe we can bluff them out of this.
No, never. Never. They'll torture us to death.
In that case, it won't hurt to try. You, stop! Stop where you are.
You don't think they could understand English, do you, Clyde?
No, but they can understand the sound of authority in a voice. Don't come closer. I will have words with your leader.
They've stopped. Oh, Clyde, they've stopped.
I don't know my own power. I better keep talking. If you harm us, many men will come to destroy you. See? I put down my weapons. You do the same. Send out your leader to make talk.
They seem to be discussing what to do. Oh, keep talking, Clyde. Keep talking in that same tone of voice.
I don't know what else to say.
Well, say anything, anything. Just talk stern.
Okay, here goes. Now, look here. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I say, old boy, isn't that a bit of rot you're jabbering?
Clyde, one of them speaks English.
Well, George! George, it's you! Oh, thank God! Thank God!
Well, what is this?
It's my brother, George. He is the Wambasi leader.
Good heavens, Stanley. What in the world are you doing here?
Well, I was worried about you. I got Mr. Beatty here to make up a safari, and we came out to find you.
Oh. You, I take it, Beatty?
Yes.
American?
Yes, and this is my wife.
How do you do? Now, what is this preposterous story my dear brother is spouting?
Oh, no, believe me, George. I was worried. Wasn't I, Mr. Beatty? You tell him. Tell him how I came to you.
My constituents are a bit restless. They can't understand why I haven't given them the order to cut you to pieces. Oh, don't worry, Mrs. Beatty. I'll not let them harm you. That is, not until I determine what you're after. Wambe, sikini asa bambo. Wanda, naika.
Osika, longa.
You must forgive me. The Wambasi are protesting all this palaver. I'm afraid I'll have to let them take you prisoner and return you to their village for a council of war. Wambi! Nobody! Putia!
Oh, Clyde! I'm frightened.
Don't be, honey. Robert's brother can get us out of this. I hope.
Ah, Mr. and Mrs. Beatty. I trust you slept well in spite of our inadequate accommodations.
This hut isn't exactly a summer resort.
I'm sorry about the rough handling you received last night. You see, I'm the only white man the Wambasi have ever seen. They consider me their leader. They fear you may have come to endanger me.
Strangely enough, we came out here under the misapprehension that we were going to save you.
Save me?
Yes, your brother was concerned about your welfare. He came as guide on our safari to find you.
How very touching.
It seems I've been duped.
You have indeed. But then that's nothing new for my dear brother.
Then you're not interested in getting back to civilization, Mr. Roberts?
Oh, I didn't say that, Mrs. Beatty.
Well, in that case, why don't you just leave the Wambasi?
It's not that simple.
Aren't you their leader? Won't they do anything you say?
I am their leader, and they will do anything I say, with the few exceptions.
What exceptions, Roberts?
Allow me to leave, for one. And for another, allow me to interfere with one of their important tribal customs.
And what is that?
Execute all intruders.
I see.
You mean, you won't be able to stop them from killing us?
I regret to say, that is the case.
Well, you were an intruder. How did you escape?
As I told you, I was the first white man they'd ever seen. They thought I might have magical powers, and with a few simple tricks, I convinced them I had.
Why couldn't we do the same?
No. You see, when the scouts came to me with the information that three other whites had entered this territory, I had to explain that you were evil gods.
Evil gods? Well, why did you do that?
To protect myself. After all, the only reason the Wambasi made me their leader was because to them, I was unique. I couldn't chance your altering that position.
Roberts, there are names for people like you.
This is the jungle, Beatty. You should know the first law of survival, self-preservation.
So you're going to let Harriet, me, and your own brother die?
I have no choice.
They've been dancing like that for hours, Clyde. It's getting on my nerves.
Mine too, darling. But the longer they keep it up, the longer we have to think of some way out of this mess.
Oh,
cut that out, Roberts. This is bad enough without you going to pieces.
But they'll torture us. They'll torture us to death.
They will, unless we think of something.
No, it's no use. It's no use.
Shut up. I said shut up.
No, don't hit me again. No, don't hit me again.
Then keep quiet and let me think.
Clyde, it wouldn't be difficult to break out of this flimsy hut. Then maybe we could get away in the dark.
I've thought of that, honey. But I'd only do that as a last resort. That'd leave too many advantages on their side.
But if we get enough of a start before they discover our escape, we might make it.
No, no, there must be a better way. Wait a minute. I think I got an angle.
What is it? Tell me quickly.
Something about this whole setup's been bothering me.
Everything about it's been bothering me.
George Roberts made a big point about self-preservation being the first law of the jungle. That's true, but in his case, I wonder if there isn't another, a stronger motivation.
I don't follow you, dear.
I'm talking about greed, Harriet, greed.
Well, even I can see that both the Roberts brothers have more than their share of that.
Exactly. Behind all this, there's a little matter of wealth, gold and diamonds.
Oh, I'd forgotten all about that.
Sure, and so would most people in this situation, but I'd bet my life that George Roberts hasn't.
I agree. But how in the world could that help us?
Darling, I've got a plan. It's a long shot, a very long shot. I may be wrong, and if I am, we're sunk. But we've got to take a chance. For hours, the Wambasi continued their frenzied dancing. While we waited, I carefully went over every detail of my plan with Harriet and Stanley Roberts, who calmed down almost immediately when he realized we might escape from our apparently hopeless predicament. Eventually, we were taken from the hut and brought to the scene of the execution ceremony.
Oh, Clyde, I'm so frightened. I think I'm going to scream.
Easy now, honey, easy.
It's the waiting. I can't stand anymore.
Honey, you've been wonderful. Now, just hold out a few minutes more.
I don't see George Roberts. What if he doesn't appear?
He's over there in the shadows. They're putting his ceremonial robes on him.
Does that mean they're almost ready for...
It means that in a few minutes, we'll be on our way out of here. Here they come. They're escorting Roberts to the place of honor.
It's so quiet.
Now's our time to act. Roberts, come over here.
Wanzi! Wanjika! Beatty, talking to me won't do you any good. I told you there's nothing I can do for you.
I think there is. Just step a little closer. Now, don't make a move or I'll carve out your liver.
You fool. Put up that knife.
I'll put it right through you if you don't do exactly as I say.
Do those natives see that knife?
They'll see it sticking out of you if you don't shut up. Now, that wide-bladed sword lying on the sacrificial rock, is that the execution weapon?
Yes, but...
Order one of the Wambazi to bring it over to you. Do it.
I don't see
how... Do it.
Wanta! Wanta Zila! Now, what's your game?
When you get that sword, order all your subjects to stand back. Then you're to make a speech I'm going to dictate to you.
This is insane.
Here comes the native with a sword. Now, take it and order him back.
Wanta Lisa, buona.
Take it. Order him back.
Wanto. Oraka.
Wanto.
Good. Now, make a speech. Tell the Wambazi that a special ceremony is required to kill the evil ones.
What?
Tell them only you, their leader, can successfully do the job, and that it must be done in a special place far from the village. By no means are they to follow, for to see the death throes of the evil ones is taboo. Have you got that?
We couldn't get away with it.
Then we'll die, but you'll die first. No, don't try anything with that sword, or you'll feel this knife. Now, Robert, start talking and make it convincing.
Wani! Wanzaka Ponsolati! Niwatua! Yunkolata! Wanazikalata Puntoka Mompi!
How far do you think we've gone, Clyde?
It's almost daylight. We traveled at least 10 miles.
Oh, when do you think it'll be safe to stop? I'm exhausted.
Sorry, darling. We had to push on as fast as possible. No way of knowing how long the Wambazi would hold still for our gag. Hey, Roberts, how far are we from Luangwa?
Bend of the river is just ahead. About a mile.
Well, let's stop and rest a minute, huh?
Yes, I'm ready for that, too.
Oh, thank
Well, Roberts, looks like our hoax worked, huh?
So far, yes. But now what?
When we get to the river, you're going to take us to the place you've hidden the boat.
Boat? What makes you think I know where to find a boat?
I'm psychic, and from the look on your face, I'd say I'm right, too.
You see, Mr. Roberts, my husband has a faculty for reading human nature. And I think he's done a good job of reading yours.
I don't think you're the type who'd remain with a tribe of savages when you had a fortune in gold and diamonds.
What? How did you know about that?
I told him.
Those husky Wambazi could do a lot of digging for you, couldn't they? You must have quite a treasure piled up by now. When were you planning to make a break for civilization with it?
As a matter of fact, Beatty, I was about to leave the Wambazi when you three appeared.
You thought we might make it difficult for you to sneak off. And worse than that, you thought we might want to share your treasure.
You're so right, Beatty. My dear brother George would sacrifice anyone to satisfy his greed. Even me, his own brother. Yes, even his own brother.
Mrs. Beatty and I are interested in only one thing, getting out of Nyasaland. You do have a boat hidden near the river, don't you, Roberts?
Yes.
Well, let's go. The condition of our health indicates a voyage down the Luangwa River.
Now, just a moment.
Oh, your treasure. We mustn't forget your treasure.
Precisely.
How big is your boat?
Oh, just a small dugout.
Not big enough for 4 passengers and the treasure, huh?
Hardly.
Then the treasure stays.
But
the treasure stays. If you want it so badly, you can come back and get it. But my wife and I are getting out of here.
Self-preservation, Mr. Roberts. Self-preservation. Doesn't that sand feel good, Claude?
And how, darling?
I haven't seen George Roberts since we've been back in Salisbury. Do you suppose he's gone after his gold and diamonds?
Probably.
You think he'll ever be able to get the treasure out?
Frankly, I don't care.
And if he manages, he'll have that brother of his sniffing around like a hound dog.
That's for sure.
They're two of a kind.
Yes, two of a kind that sometimes makes this old world a miserable place to live in.
Mm.
Oh, honey, there's a fly on your cheek. Brush it off.
Another tsetse fly?
Yep.
My mistake was in letting you brush off that first one.
Huh?
Just think, I could have slept through this whole adventure.
Clyde will return with a preview of our next story in just a moment. Here again is Clyde Beatty.
Many of the strangest attractions seen under the Big Top have been imported from the continent. A few years ago, Harriet and I visited Europe during the off-season and discovered Jacques and Roselle Dumont. But fate stepped in on our return voyage, and the Dumont's act was destined never to be seen in America. You'll hear the whole exciting story, Death in Stateroom B, when next we meet.
All stories are based upon incidents in the career of the world-famous Clyde Beatty and the Clyde Beatty Circus. The Clyde Beatty Show is produced by Shirley Thomas. Land of the Giants was written by R.T. Smith and Frank Hart Kelsey.
The Clyde Beatty Show, on Tuned to Yesterday from the later 1940s, a syndicated broadcast. The producer of that series, Shirley Thomas, was actually first a magazine editor for Glamour Girl, then after a short stint as a Hollywood reporter, turned to radio production, where she produced episodes of A Cavalcade of Stars, and in addition to The Clyde Beatty Show, the program Down Our Way. You're listening to An Hour of Adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now a classic episode of Tarzan, heard on the Mutual Don Lee Network on April 10th, 1952, called The Arena of Death.
From the heart of the jungle comes a savage cry of victory. This is Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle. From the black core of dark Africa, land of enchantment, mystery, and violence, comes one of the most colorful figures of all time, transcribed from the immortal pen of Edgar Rice Burroughs, Tarzan, the bronzed white son of the jungle. And now, in the very words of Mr. Burroughs, the story of Tarzan and the Arena of Death.
In the ever-important search for food, Tarzan was ranging a part of the jungle unknown to him. With the keen alertness of the wild creature, he was alive to all that was strange and unusual. No sound escaped his ears, no scent went unidentified from his keen nostrils. For those of the jungle, eternal vigilance is the price of life. Suddenly, Tarzan stopped. The scent of man was strong.
Sagia!
A native calls for help. You are hurt.
Mercy, Buava.
Oh, do not be afraid. I'm Tarzan.
What? The Lord of the Jungle, I...
Now, be quiet now and rest. I'll get you water. You feel stronger now?
Yes, Tarzan.
Who are you? What are you doing alone in this country?
I am Wanji, from the city of Ortho.
Ortho? The name is strange to me.
It is to the east. Two suns.
2 days away. What brings you here?
My master, Thorvald, the king's brother, brought myself and others to hunt meat for our city. The lion men attacked us.
The lion men?
Yes. It was they who killed the others.
You're the only survivor of the hunting party?
But for my master, Thorvald, they took him prisoner.
These lion men, why are they so called?
They train lions to hunt and kill. They attack our village, kill many elephants, which masters have trained to work.
Your masters are wise. An elephant can do the work of many men.
We are helpless against the lion men. They kill game in our valley. We must travel far to find meat for our people.
Well, the jungle has food for all. Where do these lion men live?
In the city of Victa, at opposite end of valley where my people live.
Ortho? Victa? Those names are from a past civilization.
The lion men are many and powerful, Lord of the Jungle. What can be done?
Your master is a prisoner. A powerful force threatens the peace of the jungle. We go to the city of Victor and the Lion Men.
Tarzan's jungle-bred knowledge made the trail of the Lion Men easy to follow. Wanji, the native of Ortho, hurried to keep pace with the swift-moving Lord of the Jungle. Presently, the screams of Tantor, the elephant, came to Tarzan. Even louder was the roar of Numa, the lion.
Tantor is in trouble. Hurry!
Look! Tantor has fallen into pit. Numa, stand guard.
The lion men must have left a trained lion to watch over their quarry. We must release the elephant.
Oh, but the lion! It will kill you!
Well, that may be. I'll take the chance. Of all the beasts in the jungle, I count the elephant as my best friend.
The lion turns! He sees us!
Stay back, Wanji! Numa roars a challenge!
With a mighty earth-shaking roar, the king of the beasts sprang toward the lord of the jungle. Knife in hand, the lithe bronze body of Tarzan hurtled through the air and fastened itself securely around the lion's back. A sinewy arm was flung around the beast's neck as Tarzan found a handhold in the shaggy mane hair. Long, muscled legs locked around the lion's shanks. Numa plunged, carrying Tarzan with him. Tarzan's knife flashed in the air once, twice, again and again as its sharp point sought a vital spot. And then the lion fell. Tarzan leaped from its back, put his foot on the vanquished lion's body, and loosed the victory cry so often heard through other jungles and plains.
Come. We will release Tantor.
Elephant killed?
I do not think so.
Deep cuts on back of elephant.
I will dip a bamboo stick in the mud of the riverbed and treat his wounds.
One tusk is dark.
It has been discolored. A distinctive mark. He's probably king of his herd.
He is big, Tarzan. How will you get him out of pit?
With my knife and your spear, we will dig a ramp so he can walk out. We're close to the river. The ground is not hard.
Then we will again follow the lion?
Yes, they cannot be far now. They must plan to return to get this elephant.
After Tarzan closed the elephant's wounds the best he could, he and Wanji set to work with spear and knife to excavate a ramp. Tantor, the pain of his wounds eased by Tarzan's crude but effective treatment, seemed to sense that these two strange men were his friends. He stood quietly, swaying gently from side to side as they worked.
There. That's complete. Yo, Tantor, Bondo. Handy. Stand back, Wanji. It's best to be cautious.
The great bull climbed slowly from the pit. As he came out, his sensitive trunk passed over the body of Tarzan in what was almost a caress.
Look, Tantor leaves peacefully. He does not harm us.
The bull will go back to his herd now, and his wounds will heal. Come, we must move swiftly after the lion man. They passed here not long ago.
The river tells you this?
No, these tracks. Come on. The scent of the spoor is fresh. We'll climb to the top of this rise. We should catch sight of them there.
You climb too swiftly, Tarzan. I can't.
Look, Wanji, down there. As the jungle falls away to the plains.
The lion men.
A score of lions followed by perhaps 100 warriors, and the lions behave like so many trained dogs.
Tarzan, the lions turn. They see us.
No, Wanji, they only catch our scent. The wind has shifted.
They're turning this way. They're coming after us.
Travel fast, Wanji. To your city of Ortho. Tell your king we'll need many men.
But you, Tarzan, what of you?
They will chase me while you escape.
The lions will tear you to shreds.
Not unless they've also been trained to climb trees, Wanji. It's our only chance. Go now, quickly.
Good luck, Tarzan.
Tarzan stood his ground as the lion men picked up the scent and started toward him. When Wanji was out of sight, Tarzan turned and raced in another direction. The lion men followed with a snarling, roaring beast straining at their leashes, but could not keep pace with Tarzan.
Release five of the lions!
The five lions sprang from their masters and bounded after the lord of the jungle. The jungle echoed their roars. Had they been wild lions, they would have stalked their prey in silence, but now they raced upon Tarzan with savage fury. The bronzed white sun felt their breath on his neck as he hit a jungle vine and swung with all his might into a friendly tree. The lions leaped to seize him. Tarzan watched the snarling beast below him, and then the surrounding lion men approached and leashed the lions. Tarzan dropped from the tree into the midst of the men.
Bongo! Bongo! Hoto! Horus, guard this man. Put him with the other prisoner. We will return to Victor. You are silent? Have you nothing to say?
Nothing.
You ask for nothing, no mercy?
Nothing.
You are a fool. Surely there must be something you want.
I would not ask anything of an enemy.
Horus, take him away. We go to Victor.
Get in there, wild man. Join the elephant man of Ortho.
You are not familiar to me.
You are Thorvald?
Yes. How did you know of me?
A native of your city, Wanji.
Wanji? I thought the lions killed him.
He was lucky to escape. He's now on his way to Ortho.
Good. My brother Ortho, the king, will be after us.
Thorvald, how do you account for the names of these cities, Ortho and Vikta? They're from a language of another continent.
Well, it is said that in another age, a band of people came from the other side of the great water in search of peace. Of these, only a few reached this valley. Even they quarreled among themselves and soon split into two groups, each setting up their own cities and gods.
And they're still enemies?
The people of Ortho are concerned with the fruits of the land. We have trained our elephants for work in the fields, and our crops have been abundant. Those of this city, Vikta, are hunters. They kill many and plunder villages.
A great difference.
Indeed. As the people of Vikta breed lions, we of Ortho breed elephants. Their god is Thus, the lion. Ours, Dias, is an elephant.
I only hope Wanji arrives safely in Ortho.
It is a long way. We may not be alive by the time my people arrive. We must escape.
There's little hope for that. These iron walls are strong, and the lions outside are many. Oh, the guard. And there are others with him.
Well, it is good to see the prisoner in such good spirits.
Go back to your lions, Savage.
Silence, elephant men. You dare to speak to one of Victor in such a manner?
Talk will only work against you, Thorvald.
I do not care what these pigs of the jungle think. They can do nothing worse to me.
He wants to see what else we can do.
Do with me what you will. I do not fear your insane actions.
We shall see, Thorvald. Come, let us make sport with this noble elephant man. Chain these two to those racks over there against the wall. Now heat that iron.
I am sorry, Tarzan. I fear it is I who caused this.
Quickly bring that iron.
You must not weaken now, my friend.
Dying is not easy.
Perhaps there's still a way. These chains are weak with rust.
They would kill us either way.
Oh, we're not dead yet, my friend.
Thorvald, your eyes widen at the sight of this red-hot iron. Look at it well. It is the last thing you will see.
As the guard moved toward Thorvald with the hot iron, Tarzan strained at his chains. His mighty chest expanded to capacity. Sinewy muscles, hard and rigid, fought at the iron links.
He has broken the chains!
Look out! As the chain dropped to the floor, Tarzan sprang at the guard with savage fury. His hand twisted the red-hot iron bar from the man's grasp and flung it to the far side of the prison. The other guards leaped on Tarzan, fighting to stop his onslaught. Tarzan was indeed a man possessed with a taste of freedom. Two men went down under his relentless blows, but the odds were too great. The guards fought back to the heavy iron doors, and once outside, slammed them shut against Tarzan's might.
Hey, you fool! You will never know mercy!
I ask none.
We shall go to our king and tell of this devil with the strength of 1,000 men. Victor shall surely choose a fitting death for such a savage.
I owe you my life, Tarzan.
You owe me nothing, Thorvald. I would have done the same for Numa in the face of such inhuman action.
We are doomed now.
We can still hope that Wanji arrived safely at the city of Ortho and is returning with Orthon and his warriors. The guards are returning.
And Victus the king is with them.
This is the wild man, mighty Victus.
So, Tarzan, you thought you could stand up against the lion men, huh?
Indeed, I tried.
And for such a mighty warrior, it is only fitting that your death befit you. We have something special planned.
So?
Tomorrow, in the great arena of Victor, all our people will turn out to see your great strength.
Am I to fight lions?
No, wild man. Tomorrow, you and Thorvald die in the arena. Trampled and gored to death by a rogue elephant.
They will be here shortly, Tarzan.
I know.
We shall die.
I know that also. There's nothing unique about that. Many people have died. Many will die.
Does it frighten you?
No. We must all die. What matters is how we die. If we meet death courageously, there'll be no regrets.
For myself,
I'm glad that an elephant is going to kill me. For I am an elephant man, and I bear the title with pride.
I should prefer the lion, for the elephant has always been my friend. My very best friend, perhaps. I do not like to think that a friend must kill me.
The one in the arena today will not be your friend, Tarzan.
No, but others have been.
You think there's still a way out?
I always hope. It is possible.
Prisoners, we go now to the arena.
We're ready.
The people of Victor await their sport.
Half a hundred warriors of Victor, all in their best trappings, their freshly burnished arms shining in the sunlight, formed a procession in front of the palace. A full 100 lions, tugging on their leashes held by the warriors, roared their power. Following, herded by 4 huge black-maned lions, came Tarzan, Thorval, and other doomed prisoners. A full company of warriors carrying banners and pennons brought up the rear. Victius sat majestically in the royal loge. The procession moved past the cheering citizens, whose anticipation of thrills was heightened by the rumors of Tarzan's strength.
We're being taken to the arena. There we will watch while the others before us are killed.
Those gates blocking both ends of this corridor, they do not seem very strong.
They do not have to be. No one can escape.
Ah, the arena is filled now. The events are to begin. There are other victims before us.
Look, that giant who's entering the arena now is Mayak. See, he carries a sword and a spear.
He's a lion man?
Favorite gladiator of the people.
And the man facing him, he's armed with only a small dagger.
It'll be more of an execution than yours.
That was over with quickly.
Poor fellow. He had no chance.
I think I could have defended myself against Mayark the giant.
Careful. The guard overheard you.
You think you could have defeated him?
Oh, why not? He's clumsy and stupid. Most of all, he's a coward.
Perhaps we can arrange an encounter for you after the next event. In all Victor, there is none more courageous than Maya.
I can believe that.
Look,
yes.
They're letting a lion loose into the arena.
Oh, that lion is old. Most of his teeth are gone.
But he is a killer.
Yes, he is still a powerful brute.
I suppose you think you could defeat a lion, too.
I have.
The beast roars for an opponent.
But if Maya kills you, we will never know if you could have killed the lion.
I will fight them both at once if Maya is not afraid to go into the arena with a lion.
I will see about this. It would indeed be something to watch.
Why did you say that?
Didn't I tell you I'd rather be killed by a lion than an elephant?
I wonder what they plan for me.
We will find out only too soon.
Mighty Victus, permit me to speak.
What is it, God?
The bronzed one called Tarzan laughs at our sport.
He finds himself facing death and he laughs?
Tarzan says he can defeat both the giant Mayak and a lion.
And the elephant man, what is he to say?
He says nothing, but he seems unafraid.
This should be an interesting performance. Perhaps we can make it more difficult for these brave fools.
How do you mean?
The elephant we captured last night. He is mighty and a vicious rogue. We shall put all 3 against Tarzan and Thorval.
Man, it is arranged, even more to your liking, perhaps.
What do you mean?
It seems you are honored, Tarzan. You and this elephant man will go into the arena together, not only with Mayak and a lion, but the rogue elephant as well.
The elephant, too?
Yes, and a fine specimen of beast, as wild as a maddened bull.
What does Mayak think of this?
I think he does not like the idea. But if Mayak can kill you before the lion and the elephant are let into the arena, he will be made a captain.
Are you ready, Thorval?
Yes, Tarzan.
Follow me. You will take your places in the center of the arena immediately.
Stay behind me, Thorval. I have a plan.
I can't let you face him alone. He has a spear and a sword. We have nothing with which to defend ourselves.
Oh, you're wrong, my friend. We have our wits.
The giant Myark ran toward the two men, holding his spear in front of him. Tarzan stood his ground as Myark lunged the spear point at the naked breast of the Lord of the Jungle. Tarzan seized the shaft of spear and wrenched the weapon from Myark's grasp, hurling it to the ground behind him. As Myark reached for his sword, Tarzan was upon him. Steel-sinewed fingers seized the giant and swung him around.
The lion is loose.
Stand perfectly still. If you try to run, it will chase you.
It is trotting towards us.
Yes, but it's a small lion, pitifully emaciated. It has evidently been starved to make it ravenous.
Myark shows fear, Tarzan.
I will give this Numa something to eat.
Tarzan's words struck terror into the heart of Myark. He struggled fiercely, but could not escape the vice-like grip Tarzan had on him. As the lion approached, Tarzan moved to meet him, pushing Myark ahead of him. Just before the beast launched its lethal charge, Tarzan gave Myark a tremendous shove directly toward the lion. Myark turned quickly to one side and broke into a run. Tarzan stood his ground. Not a muscle moved. The lion turned from Tarzan and Thorvald and pursued the running Myark. Directly in front of the royal loge where Victia sat spellbound, the lion sprang, and Myark went down to a mercifully quick end.
Release the elephant.
Quickly, then. We don't have much time. I'll dispose of the lion.
As the lion stood growling over the body of Myark, its back toward Tarzan and Thorvald, Tarzan sped with the swiftness of Sheeta the panther and leaped astride the cat. The mighty elephant caught Tarzan's scent and started across the arena. Tarzan grasped the lion by the mane and loose hide on its back. He lifted it bodily, at the same time swinging and whirling the beast with him. It was the lightning quickness of his act that made it possible. That and his great strength, as with one superhuman effort, he flung the roaring beast into the royal loge of Victius. The lion clawed at the king, lashing his taloned paws out as he fought from one loge to another.
Tarzan, the elephant.
Get back!
Panther, stop him.
Yes. He has a discolored tusk. Wanzi and I released him from a pit.
He caresses you with his tusk.
Quickly, climb on his back. We'll batter down the logs of the palisade. Nada, heyo! Nuno! Nuno!
The elephant gathered Tarzan and Thorvald in its folds and lifted them to its head. At a sharp command from Tarzan, the mighty beast whirled and charged across the arena. With lowered head, the great bull crashed into the flimsy palisade at the inner end of the corridor. Then the outer palisade fell before him, and he carried Tarzan and Thorvald out into the plain and toward freedom.
Look behind, Tarzan. Already they are pouring out of the arena to give chase.
Before long, they'll be organized and in full pursuit. Once they loose the lions, we will have little chance of escape.
Look ahead, beneath that cloud of dust. The racing elephants of Otho coming at full charge.
Wanzi, he's brought your people. But now we're right in the middle of a full-scale war.
Closing in rapidly, the opposing groups met with a clash as Tarzan and Thorvald wheeled the bull elephant to lead the charge. The mighty elephants of Otho scattered the foe right and left, and the foot warriors closed in behind to thoroughly rout the lion men, who were not prepared to meet an attack of such proportion.
The Victians retreat, my friend.
Yes, my people have shown their strength.
Their retreat is cut off. The sign of surrender is called.
Perhaps this will be the last of our battles.
Oh, but the toll of men is great. Come, Thorvald, let us go to your king. Victius and Orthon, I bring you together under a flag of truce. You both seem stunned by the useless slaughter of so many men and animals.
We have long been enemies, Tarzan.
What is to be gained by killing?
Tarzan is right. We could live in peace.
I am ready, Tarzan, to abide by your suggestion.
And you, King of the Lion Men?
I will obey.
There is no reason why you should be hereditary enemies.
We're all of the same ancestors.
You, Warthon, have taught your people to work the fields and produce abundant crops.
That is true.
And you, Victius, have taught your men to hunt well.
Yes.
Together, your peoples have all that is necessary for a bountiful life. You can work and provide each other with the fruits of your labor.
I am willing to accept this plan, Victius.
Yes, Orthon. We shall be friends. Welcome to my... to our valley.
I know this peace shall be a lasting one. And now I must return to my home.
You have done us a great service, Tarzan.
And I shall never forget how you saved my life.
Oh, Tantor saved both our lives, Thorvald.
Yes, it was amazing. That elephant remembered what you had done for him.
The beasts of the jungle are not given enough credit. Like humans, they too will welcome kindness. And when they return that kindness, it often means the difference between life and death.
In just a moment, a preview of our next exciting story of Tarzan. In our next story, you'll hear about a fabulous uranium discovery in the hidden land of Gurma, a land dedicated to peaceful farming, suddenly inflamed by a savage lust for war. You'll meet a sinister woman known as Panther, her equally sinister partner, and the most vicious killer Africa has ever seen, Tremaine.
Included in our cast were Jack Moyles, Bob Bruce, Victor Rodman, and Charles Seal. Tarzan, a creation of the famous Edgar Rice Burroughs, is produced and transcribed by Walter White, Jr., prepared for radio by Robert Schaefer and Eric Freewald, with original music by Albert Glasser. This is a Commodore production.
Tarzan, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 10th, 1952 on the Mutual Don Lee Network. And that closes this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.